A very good morning. Let us turn our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. And continue our study of 1 Thessalonians, and we're looking today at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, looking at verse 3 and verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 4. Maybe I titled this morning's message as The Believer's Self-Care. The Believer's Self-Care. Now, what is self-care? It is a term that has become more common in recent years. One article that I read states that Google searches for the term self-care has more than quadrupled since 2018. So in the past 5 years, and perhaps particularly throughout COVID periods, there has been a greater concern that people have had for, simply caring for themselves. But what is this term all about? Well, the WHO, the World Health Organization, defines self-care as the ability of individuals, families, communities to promote health, prevent disease, maintain health, and cope with illnesses and disabilities with or without the support of a health worker. And so basically it's a term to focus on our physical and also our mental health. Again, these are things that people are speaking more and more of in recent years. Not just physical well-being, but also mental well-being. And yes, admittedly, these things are important. But sometimes when this term self-care or this whole idea or notion of self-care is not properly applied, it has in some areas sort of just become a term that we can perhaps term as self-indulgence. Where people will say things like, oh, I need to practice my self-care, I need to take care of myself. And what they really mean is, I just want to relax, I just want to enjoy life, I want to take time off from work, I want to watch my movies, I want to pursue my hobbies. And all these sort of come under the umbrella of self-care. Yes, people describe self-care as the steps that an individual can take to manage the stresses in his or her life and to take care of his or her own health and well-being. And so some examples of self-care, and this is what an article states, will be things like regular sleeping routine, eating well, eating healthy, spending time in nature, doing a hobby you enjoy, or expressing gratitude. It says it looks different for everyone, but basically these are behavior that promote health and happiness in a person. And so it's quite wide-ranging. And some of these things are good and beneficial and useful for us, right? Being healthy, eating well, sleeping well, exercising, and doing these sort of things. Pursuing hobbies, again, nothing wrong if that is done in moderation and in the proper way that, it can be the fruitful and wise use of our time. But again, as I mentioned earlier, it can be taken to an extreme in a sense where it becomes a very self-indulgent way of thinking. My self-care is a priority, people will say. And because of that, their life now becomes ordered as to what I want to do. Because any time I'm forced to do something that I do not like, that is a stressor in my life. And they say, that is not good for my mental health. And so there are people today that say, a 9-to-5 job is not good for my mental health. Working hard is not good for my mental health. Having a boss, right, that tells me and directs me as to what I should be doing with my time, that is not good for me. These are stressors that I need to put away. And I just want to travel the world. I just want to enjoy life. I just want to, do the things that I feel is good for me. And we use it then as an excuse. But for the believer, what should our priority be? In a sense, it is not wrong to care for ourselves because, that is our priority. In a sense where this is what I'm responsible for, my life. I have a limited extent at which I can care for the people around me. And yes, that is what I should do and what I need to do. That is my responsibility as well. But the Bible also says that everyone must first see to themselves first. Taking care of well, their own lives, in a sense, before they can take care of others. But what should our priority be? Our physical health. Not wrong to take care of our physical health. It is important. And it is, yes, our responsibility to make sure that we are physically well. Because if we are not, if we are irresponsible with taking care of this physical body that God has given to us, well, that is not beneficial as well. It will limit the scope of our service, limit the effectiveness of the lives that we can live. But you see, when we talk about our care, in the responsibility that we have as believers of the body and the life that God has given to us, what must come to the forefront and what must be the chief of our concern is our spiritual health, right? If our spiritual health is in place, if it is doing well, then yes, actually everything else will fall into place as well, including physical, mental, emotional well-being. Because you will then know that, yes, it is our responsibility to care for our physical bodies such that we can have the health and the vitality to serve the Lord. Emotionally and mentally, we will be in the right place also, because daily we will exercise faith and trust in the Lord. We will not be overcome or overwhelmed with fears and anxieties and worries, because we know that God is sovereign and watching over our lives. We will know how to rightly interact with the people around us, because we are filled with the fruit of the Spirit. We have love, joy, peace, and everything else that God will guide us into, because spiritually we are well before the Lord. And so for the focus of a believer, when we talk about a believer's self-care, we must not be distracted by these other various things, but we must first and foremost focus on how we can spiritually be before the Lord. And our objective is not our physical health. I would say that is subsidiary to, well, everything else that we're talking about. Spiritual self-care has to be the focus and the priority. And, you know, sometimes you see these lists, of articles talking about self-care, and, you know, they actually list spiritual self-care as sort of one of the subsets or one of the sub-points. And they will say, well, attending a religious service, spending time in nature, meditating, acts of kindness in your day, or keeping a gratitude journal, these are certain things that people can do to practice spiritual self-care. But you see, they see it as a subset in a sense where when you do that, then that contributes to the overall idea of self-care. But actually, everything's in reverse. They got it wrong. You know, they say, well, just any religious service will do, or you spend time meditating, or go and practice some yoga. You know, these are ways in which you can refresh your soul, whatever it means to them. But it's really the other way around, you see. It has to be, and the only way it can be is that we are spiritually well with a right relationship with the only true and living God. That's the only way. Godliness is key. As 1 Timothy 4:8 tells us, right? That bodily exercise, it profiteth a little. Yes, you care about your physical body, and you exercise, you eat well, you do all these things. It does profit, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You see, godliness, your sanctification, your holiness before God, that is key, because it's profitable, the Bible here says, to all things, every aspect of your life, and not just your present life, but the life that is to come. And so when we talk about the believer's self-care, that's what I would say some of the points in this passage will focus on. It is spiritual in nature. It's talking about how we can walk well with the Lord. Or perhaps as how Paul puts it here, how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. What possess is this idea of keeping well, that you are entrusted with the possession of this vessel, of this body and this life that you have. How will you possess it well? How will you own this life? How will you care for this life? And so there are a few thoughts that are brought forward here. As we think about the life that God has given to us, how will you care for this life? Firstly, obey the will of God. That's verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And the first idea that we want to have is really, what is the purpose of your life? What are you living for? I mean, in a sense, that is part of this whole idea of self-care. Of course, the world will say, well, you are living for yourself. You must prioritize yourself. You must have self-love. You must do what you want, pursue your dreams and your goals and your ambitions. And essentially what they are saying is that, well, you are the most important person to you, and you must do your will. You must pursue your own pleasure. And that is good for your well-being. That is not entirely, and that is not at all what the Bible says. No, for the Christian, for the believer, his delight, his purpose is the will of God. And that's what Psalm 40 verse 8 says. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. That should be the cry of every believer. I delight to do thy will, O my God. I love to do thy will. And that is the focus and the purpose of my life. I want to do the will of God. I want to fulfill the desires of God. I want to seek only the pleasure of God and nothing else. And yes, when we seek his pleasure and when we seek his will, and if we are in line with all these things, I mean, what follows is also our delight, right? It's not that God is a tyrannical God. It's not that he forces us to do terrible things. No, not at all. God is a loving, benevolent God. He's a good God. And for the believer, as we grow in our spiritual maturity, what happens is that our will becomes aligned with his. What he wants of us in our lives is also what we want for ourselves in this life. And that's why it becomes our delight, as the psalmist says. It is my delight to do God's will. That means you will find the greatest joy and the greatest happiness, the greatest delight, when we are in his will and we are doing his will. Is that our understanding of our life? Is that the purpose of our life? And that becomes the greatest thing that we can do for our spiritual self-care, where daily we are simply seeking to do the will of God. And if you think about it, you know, this becomes a very freeing experience, a very liberating thing. We are no longer chasing after the things of the world. We are no longer pursuing the vain pleasures of this life. Our goal and our objective is very simply, God, what will you have me to do? As Paul cried the moment he was saved on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And that became the focus of his life for the rest of his life, simply obeying the will of God. Is that our desire as well? Remember how Solomon in his day, he pursued after all the things of this world. He sought and he set out with a very concerted effort to find out what were the delights of the sons of God, sons of men, that they do under the sun all the days of their lives. He says, I want to enjoy the pleasures of this life like the sons of men, like the people of this world, that they do all the days of their lives. But at the end of it all, we know his conclusion. And so it was vanity. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. But yet that is what the world continues to push us towards. It will tell you, oh, the greatest pleasure, the greatest joys can be found in the pursuit of all these experiences out there. But the believer, it must not be so. You must realize that all these pursuits will just end in disappointment and dissatisfaction. That was what Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes to to show us. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. But when we fear God and keep His commandments, as Solomon ended with the book of Ecclesiastes telling us, that that is the whole duty of men. That is what our focus should be upon, in seeking after the will of God. And in what sense? Generally, he uses just the term, even our sanctification. That is the will of God. That from the point of time that we are saved, we are born again, yes, we are justified, in that we have been cleansed and washed once and for all of all our sins. Our slate is wiped clear. We stand holy before God. Positionally, that is how we are. But we know that we are not yet perfect. We are far from it. And what then happens for the rest of our lives is what we describe as the process of sanctification. And what is sanctification? It's basically growing in our holiness, growing towards God, and further and further away from the things of the world, further and further away from sin, closer and closer toward God, that we become more holy, more pure. We become we increase in our spiritual maturity. And that's what we've been seeing, in what Paul has been saying also, is how he exhorted them to increase and abound yet more and more in their love, in their walk to please God. I mean, these are all the things that we think of as we think about our sanctification. But generally speaking, in verse 3, what Paul is saying is that, well, that is what God wants of you. And that ought to be the purpose as you seek to practice this self-care. What it means is that our focus will be on our sanctification. Is that your concern for your life? Or are we still vainly clinging on to the things of the world and pursuing after all these things that are really not helpful, not helpful at all for the life that we ought to be living? Are we concerned for our sanctification? Is this something that daily we have been growing in? However long that you have been a believer, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years even for some, has there been an increase, a growth, a maturity from the time that you were born again, and yes, you were babes in Christ, you were drinking milk, but then you have been growing and growing. It's like how physically a baby will grow from infancy to adulthood. Have we been growing in our sanctification? Is that a focus of our lives? Is it something that we are continually seeking to strive to improve on? And so that's the first thing that we have to be concerned about. The will of God in our lives, even our sanctification. That's our purpose. And then the second half of this verse, the second line in this verse, tells us of what we ought to avoid. What we ought to avoid. Because when we talk about our self-care, yes, we must avoid things that are harmful to us, right? We must avoid things that will bring harm, or for them in the world, they speak of physical harm, right? And they'll be the opposite of what we must prioritize. So for them, they'll say, well, you must sleep well means you don't sleep badly, you don't, eat badly, you don't have unhealthy habits and unhealthy lifestyles. And of course, that will be detrimental. Your physical, mental, or emotional states. What is the thing that will bring greatest detriment to our spiritual well-being? Of course, clearly it's sin. Sin is what will affect our sanctification. Sin is what will affect our walk with the Lord. That although when we repented of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we say, yes, our slate has been wiped clear. We have been forgiven once and for all our sins. That does not mean that we suddenly become perfect. We know that definitely is not the case. Far from it. There are still temptations that abound. There is still Satan, that roaring lion that goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And as much as it is the will of God, even our sanctification, in a way you can rephrase the next line to say it is the will of Satan, even our fornication. And that's why Paul warns us here that we must abstain from fornication. And what is fornication? Basically, sinful lusts. Anything to do with sexual sins, it comes under this wide umbrella term of fornication. It is the Greek word from which we get the word pornography from, porneia. All things related to sexual sins, that is what God wants us to stay far, far away from. Abstain. It's the idea of holding ourselves away from, to refrain from, to abstain from something, to stay away from it. So that's what Paul reminds us here. And how can we focus and prioritize on our sanctification? Well, we stay far away from any sinful lusts, to stay far away from anything that will hurt us in our walk with the Lord. And that is also something that we must be on guard against. We must be very careful about, that we will do nothing that will ever harm our spiritual well-being. You know, there are some people that are very, very health conscious. So physical, we're talking about physical health conscious, right? And so they'll read up on all the things concerning nutrition and diet and physical well-being and health and things like that, right? And so they will have very, very careful routines. They will sleep this amount of hours every single night. And to because they prioritize that, it will make sure that they cut out any bad habits that will cause them to affect their sleep, right? So they don't look at screens for a couple of hours, or if they do, they have certain light filters to make sure that it will not affect certain things regard to their sleep. They make sure that they are sleeping in a very good environment in terms of the brightness or the darkness of the room, right? The certain temperature that they sleep on, buy a very high quality pillow and bed and mattress, so that their sleep will not be compromised. They focus on their diet to make sure that every day they have the right amount of nutrition. Stay away from any cancer-causing foods or any foods that will cause any sort of other disease or any other ill health to come upon them. They will focus on exercise, making sure that they have the required amount of exercise a day as recommended by the doctors and all these health guidelines. They're very conscientious about that. They're very careful. And they want to basically cut out anything that will be detrimental to their health. Right? You know, people go at all lengths because of what? Because of their physical body. But how about our souls, which we know is of far greater price and value than our physical body? Because no matter how hard we work at maintaining this body, the reality of it is that it will degenerate over time. And no matter how much you exercise, how well you sleep, how well you eat, the fact of life is that it will degenerate. Yes, maybe all our efforts can cause it to degenerate slower. So at the age of 50, 60, 70, yes, you can still be fitter than average. But there's no way that, you know, just dieting and exercise and healthy habits that, you know, when you reach the age of 70 years, that you can be as healthy as a 20-year-old who is eating rubbish, who is sleeping terribly. He's still going to be fitter and healthier in that sense than a person at 70 who is extremely conscientious in every aspect of our life. I mean, that is just a fact of life. Our bodies will break down and degenerate one day. But our souls are eternal. And our concern must be that we cut away anything and everything that will hurt our sanctification. And so, yes, one very common and wide-ranging area of sin in our lives is fornication. The lusts of this world that are all around us, attracting us. And we see that in all forms of media around us, do we not? Television, movies, social media, billboards, advertisements, everything all around us. The world uses sex to sell things and to lure you and to draw you. The believer has to be very conscious, to be very conscious, and not turn a blind eye to these things, or think that, well, it's just it's normal, that's how the world is today, or don't be such a prude, don't be so old-fashioned, loosen up. No, it is the will of God in our, even our sanctification, that we abstain from fornication. And time and again, the Bible warns us of these things, right? Dearly beloved, I beseech you, and this is 1 Peter chapter 2, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. That is what fornication is. They are fleshly lusts which war, it fights, it battles against our souls. It prevents us from drawing nigh unto the Lord and pulls us into the world. And so Peter says, dearly beloved, remember that you are what? Strangers and pilgrims. That you are not here for the long term. You are here temporarily. And you must be alien from the world. The world must be foreign to you and is not something that you must ever be comfortable in. Because these things in the world, these fleshly lusts, they war, they fight, they battle against our souls. And so often we just give in. We just throw up the white flag at the slightest of temptations and we just allow ourselves to give in and enjoy the things of this world. That is not abstaining from fornication. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. See that? The Bible recognizes how harmful the sin of fornication is. Because anything else you do, it is, in a sense, outside, not relating to our physical body. You tell a lie. I mean, you say the lie and the lie is out there. You steal something. You take something physical that is not yours. When you commit fornication, it is to do with our own body and we are hurting, harming ourselves in the process of the sin of fornication. And so he says, flee, be very concerned and abstain. Be like Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph. And Potiphar's wife came and enticed him and daily pleaded, says, lie with me, lie with him, lie with me. It was clearly a temptation of fornication. But what did he do? He dropped and ran. He physically fled. He left his garment in hand, he fled and he got out. And even though this was at great personal harm, in a sense where because of this, he was falsely accused and he got thrown into prison. But that's the price that perhaps we must sometimes pay to maintain our sanctification, to continue to flee or abstain from fornication, to abstain from basically anything that will hurt or hamper our spiritual life. And so while this may be the thing that Paul chose to focus on as he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, always we think about fornication, we'll think also of other sins that will affect us. And as we talk about the believer's self-care, well, what must be our concern? That we abstain from basically all evil, or all appearances of evil, as he will say later on. Even just the appearance of evil, even the every slightest temptation of evil. Anything that will turn us away from God and draw us to the world, abstain from all of these things. If we care about our souls, that is what we will do. That we will flee and abstain from anything which wars against our soul. And that is a daily and a constant battle that we are fighting. And that we must continue to fight. And we must never give up, never give in. How many lives, how many spiritual lives have been ruined just because of a moment of fleeting pleasure? Because we have been convinced at that very moment that this is more worth it, giving in to this act, allowing ourselves to succumb to whatever temptation it is to be for us, it is more important, it is better for me than my soul. Because basically that's what we're saying, that's the choice that we have, that is put before us. Giving in to this temptation, and yes, having that few minutes of pleasure, that few moments of pleasure, it's better for me to do that, it's more important, it's beneficial for me, rather than prioritizing my sanctification, prioritizing my walk with the Lord. But truly what we are doing, we are disappointing God. We're sinning against God. That's what Joseph said, right? How can I do this wicked act? How can I do this thing and sin against my God? Sin against my God and bring ruin to our souls. I think we all know about the experience of David, who, unlike Joseph, he gave in. He gave in to the temptation, and we all know what happened. The ruin that brought to his name, his reputation, and his walk with the Lord. And so instead, positively, the Bible then in verse 4 says, now every one of you should know. This is something that you ought to know. This is something that you ought to prioritize. How to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So the final thought that we have is that we must seek, actively pursue after sanctification and honor. So negatively, we abstain from fleshly sinful lusts. We stay away from those things. And then positively, we look at the life that we have been given. That is the vessel here, what the Bible is speaking of, right? He says, this vessel of yours, it is your body. And what is your body all about? You know, the verse that we read just now in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 says, flee fornication, right? Everything that you are doing, every sin that you commit is outside the body, without the body, but fornication is a sin that involves your body. And then he goes on to say, what know ye not, your body, what is so important about the body is not just the fact that it is, well, you know, this thing that God has given to us to live this life. It is also, the Bible says, the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You see, this body is given to us. And the Bible says that as you are a believer, it now becomes the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. You have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost in you. And therefore, you must care for this body. Take care of this body. In what sense? Not so that we can extend our lives for as long as possible, but so that this body is a vessel fit for the Master's use. That this body, this vessel, is a sanctified one. It is a holy one. And so how he says it here is that you know how to rightly care for your soul, care for this body, which is the vessel for a soul, and the vessel for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That you will care for it in sanctification and honor. In sanctification and honor. And yes, one subset of that, one aspect of that is that we will keep reasonably healthy and fit and well. I'm not saying that that is not something that we should do or something that is not important. No, we must. And I dare say it is our spiritual responsibility to exercise regularly, to eat well, so that you will not be sickly, so that you will not fall ill easily, that you will have the health and the strength and the vitality to serve the Lord, that you can keep this body and treat it well, this body that God has given to us. We only have the one. We only have the one body. So treat it well. But that's one aspect of that. But the greater concern, or something that we must be very fully aware, is the fact that this vessel, this body that God has entrusted with, well, it is basically the housing for our souls, for every believer, for the Holy Ghost. And so, therefore, Paul says here that everybody should know. You should be well aware of this, and you must make a deliberate attempt, or rather a deliberate effort, to know how to possess your body well. What does it mean to possess? It means to own. You take possession of something that is now yours, right? For example, you make a purchase. You buy a car or a house. Now you are a house owner. Now you own a car, and these are things, well, of certain value. And there are certain things that we have to do to maintain these things, right? And so if you own a car, well, every year you have to send it for servicing. And I mean, even the government has, you know, certain concerns that, you know, your car is a roadworthy car. It is not one that, you know, will break down halfway, cause an accident, you know, that your brakes are suddenly, you know, not working, and then you press and nothing happens. No, you have to make certain steps to ensure that your engine is running smoothly, that all the various components are okay. so that it becomes, you know, something that you can trust and rely on. So regularly we send it for servicing. If we are not, you know, mechanically, you know, we don't have that technical mechanical know-how, yeah, we send it to the mechanic. He does the tune-ups, he checks all the valves and checks all the various components to make sure that everything is in good working order. That is a responsibility for one who possesses a car, that you know how to possess the car well. Likewise for a house owner, a homeowner, there are many things that you have to be concerned about. The electrical, the plumbing, the waterproofing, everything is working well. And it is a big responsibility to make sure that in the course of possessing this home, it does not fall to ruin. It does not, you know, over the course of your stay there, everything falls apart, it becomes in bad shape, it becomes a dilapidated property. Now we know, every one of you should know, having taken possession of something, a car or a house or any other object, right? You maintain it well, you treat it well, so that it serves us and it fulfills its purpose well. What more our body? What more our body? That every one of you should know, every one of you must be fully aware of how we can take possession of this vessel that God has given to us. In what aspects? Back to the idea of sanctification, purity, that you be very conscientious of sin and your increasing maturity, that you must maintain separate and holy unto God. That is part and parcel of the responsibility that every believer has, and that is your self-care. Is it knowing that this is what God has entrusted to me? This life that I have, how will you live it? How will you order your life? How will you have effective habits that can promote your sanctification, promote your honor? And the word honor has this idea of the value of your life, that you will have that high, holy reverence for the life that you have been given, and you treat it. You treat that life that you have with the respect that it deserves. That it is a precious life. It is a precious relationship that God has established with you. Is it something that we are concerned about? Is it something that we will prioritize? Your spiritual self-care. That understand the high price that has been paid for your salvation. Understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross to give us this life. And then from henceforth, every one of you should know how to rightly treat this life, this body, this vessel in sanctification and honor. Is that how we are living? Will we order our lives, ensure that daily we are maintaining and upkeeping our body in sanctification and honor? That daily we are seeking to serve the Lord. Daily we are seeking to walk aright with Him. Praying without ceasing, meditating on God's word, that this daily is our delight, that we will grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will prioritize a good, healthy spiritual diet, feeding ourselves constantly on the word of God that we may grow thereby, serving the Lord, exercising ourselves unto godliness. Will we focus and prioritize these things? Or will we just let go and let loose and just do whatever the world desires and fulfill the lusts of the flesh? He says, no. If you know how to possess your body in sanctification and honor, it means that you will abstain from fornication. You stay far away from fleshly lusts and sins that war against your soul because you care for your soul. And you practice self-care in a sense where you will now start to implement very good, effective spiritual habits in your life. And in some areas, it looks similar. It looks similar from what the world would say regarding self-care. You have good regular routines. Our routine is prayer, reading God's word, attending Bible study, serving the Lord, witnessing for Him. Praying without ceasing. These are a few things of knowing how to possess your body, your life in sanctification and honor. And yes, God will bless such a life. Because we draw nigh to Him and we experience His goodness. We experience His presence in our lives. And it is a most blessed and a wonderful thing. It is a joy that this world cannot bring to us, a peace that passeth all understanding. That is what we can receive as we prioritize this self-care, as we seek to possess our body well, and it will be our delight. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word and this exhortation this morning. As we think about the life that Thou hast given to us, this vessel that we have been entrusted with, we pray that Thou grant us the grace and the strength to fulfill our responsibility, that we will seek to do the will of God, even our sanctification, that we will abstain from all these fleshly lusts, from fornication and all the sins of this world, but instead that we will know how to possess our body in sanctification and in honor. And so we thank Thee for this morning. We pray that Thou bless us, guide us, and help us to do according to Thy will all the days of our lives. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.